We present Peter Cook and Marjorie Westbury in the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Van Dyke Affair. Episode 2, The Marlowe Incident.
What is it, Steve?
There's a note here on the pad by the telephone. Charlie must have written it.
Well, what does it say?
It says a Mr. Van Dyke telephoned. He left no message.
Van Dyke?
Wasn't it the man who phoned Mrs. Desmond the night that Millicent and the baby disappeared?
Yes, it was. Let me have a look at that note, Steve.
Here. It's Charlie's handwriting.
I wonder what time this man telephoned.
Well, we left the flat at about 8:30, so it must have been after that. Oh, here's Charlie.
Oh, hello, Charlie. I thought you had gone out for the evening.
Yeah, so did I. But Beryl's took me up.
What, again?
Yeah, blimey, she's half getting temperamental these days.
Charlie, we've just seen this note. What time did the man telephone?
Soon after you left. I suppose it'd be about 8:30.
Well, what did he say, this Mr. Van Dyke?
Well, he didn't say anything. At least not much. Phone rang, I picked it up, and the voice said, "Can I speak to Mr. Temple, please?" I said, "I'm sorry, but he's out any message."
And then what happened?
The voice said, "No message. Just tell him a Mr. Van Dyke telephoned."
And that's all?
That's all.
What did he sound like?
Oh, he's quite a pleasant sort of chap.
Would you recognise his voice again?
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, all right, Charlie, see who that is.
Very good, sir.
Good evening. Could we see Mr. Temple, please?
Well,
would you tell Mr. Temple that Mrs. Desmond and Terry Palmer would like a word?
Very good.
Wait, Mrs. Desmond? I'll put the doll behind that cushion.
Yes, dear. Ah, come in, Mrs. Desmond.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, hello, Palmer.
Hello.
I hope we're not interrupting your dinner.
Oh, Lord, no, we finished ages ago.
All right, Charlie.
Okay, Mrs. T.
You look very worried, Palmer. Has anything happened?
Haven't you seen the evening paper?
No, I...
Queenie Edwards is dead. She's been murdered. Look.
Oh, yes, I knew about this.
What does it say in the paper, Paul?
It simply says that she was beaten up and died as a result of her injuries. It also points out, not without significance, that she was a friend of Miss Millicent's.
Mr. Temple, do you think Queenie Edwards was murdered because...
Mary has got into her head that Queenie Edwards was murdered because she knew why Miss Millicent and the baby were kidnapped.
Always assuming, of course, that Miss Millicent and the baby were kidnapped.
What do you mean?
What other explanation could there be?
Well, let's take a look at the facts of this case. Just over a week ago, you and Mr. Palmer had dinner at the Commodore Club. You left your baby in the care of a sitter-in, a Miss Millicent. When you returned to your flat, both the baby and the sitter-in had disappeared. Right?
Yes.
There was a note in Miss Millicent's handwriting saying that a Mr. Van Dyke had telephoned but had left no message. Now, neither you or Mr. Palmer had heard of anyone called Van Dyke.
We hadn't.
Now, Miss Millicent shared a house with a girl called Queenie Edwards. Last night, I had a phone call from Queenie Edwards, from Marlowe, asking me to meet her at Paddington Station.
You had a call?
She said she had a very important message for me about Miss Millicent, adding, as an afterthought, that if by any chance I missed her, she'd posted me a letter. Well, I did miss her. As you know, she was beaten up and received injuries from which she died.
And the letter?
The letter turned out to be a cloakroom ticket.
A cloakroom ticket? What for?
For the cloakroom at the Commodore Club. I took the ticket along this evening, and in return they handed me an attaché case. Would you like to see what was in that case, Palmer?
Yes, I would.
Lift that cushion, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Terry, look. It's the doll. It's Susan's doll.
But where on earth did you get it?
I've told you, it was in the attaché case at the Commodore.
Yes, but who left it there?
Don't you know, Palmer?
What do you mean? What the devil are you getting at?
Didn't you leave the doll there in this attaché case 2 days ago?
I most certainly did not. Mary, you don't believe that
no,
I...
No, of course not. Mr. Temple, what on earth gave you such an idea?
The cloakroom attendant told me that Mr. Palmer left the case a couple of days ago.
But that's absolute nonsense.
Then did you leave any other case at the Commodore?
No, I didn't. I haven't been in the other club, not since that night. That's the truth, isn't it, Mary?
Yes.
I see.
May I take the doll, please?
Oh, I'm afraid I shall have to hand it over to the inspector, Mrs. Desmond.
Just for a moment, please.
Oh, all right.
Is it the same doll?
Yes. It's the same doll, all right. I can tell by the skirt. Look, Terry.
Mary, darling, don't. Temple, what's behind all this? If what you've told us is true, then someone must have deliberately taken the doll from the child, put it in the attaché case, and left it at the Commodore.
Exactly.
But why? For heaven's sake, why?
I don't know why. Not yet, Palmer. Oh, hello, Sir Graham.
Sorry if I've got you out of bed.
Out of bed? We've been up for hours.
Morning, Sir Graham. Have you had breakfast?
Yes, thanks.
Oh, good. Charlie's out and I'm packing.
We're going away for the weekend. As a matter of fact, we're going down to Marlow.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
That's what I thought.
Are you staying at the Wordsworth?
Yes.
Eden's got one of his men down there. He'll probably look you up.
Oh, good. Sit down, Sir Graham.
Oh, thank you. Well, we've checked the doll. It's a perfectly ordinary doll, nothing unusual about it.
What about the attaché case?
I'm afraid it doesn't tell us a great deal either. There were two sets of prints. One was yours, the other belonged to Bert Walters, the cloakroom attendant. He now says he's not absolutely sure that it was Palmer who left the case. Do you still think it was?
I don't know.
Well, if it was, how did Queenie Edwards get hold of a cloakroom ticket? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, it's more to the point. Why did she get hold of it? And why did she take the trouble to send it to me?
Well, I think the answer to that's pretty obvious, Temple. She wanted you to know that Palmer's mixed up in this business. That he's probably responsible for the kidnapping of Miss Millicent and the baby.
Then why did he leave the doll at the Commodore? Why not destroy it or throw it away?
Well,
no, Sir Graham. Whoever left that doll in the cloakroom did so because they'd been given instructions to do so.
I'm not so sure about that, Temple.
Oh, well, we'll see. Tell me, did you find out why Queenie Edwards went down to Marlow?
No, we didn't. Eden thinks that she went down to see Miss Millicent.
Uh-huh.
He thinks they were in league with one another. Just exactly what they were in league about seems to have escaped him.
That's an interesting theory. No, don't get up.
Yes, Sir Graham, you say that Inspector Eden's got one of his men down at Marlow.
Yes, a Sergeant Digby. He's a bright young fellow. You'll like him, Temple. He's staying at the Wordsworth Hotel.
Has he discovered anything?
Yes, he has. When Queenie Edwards arrived at Marlow, she went straight to the Wordsworth. She made a telephone call from there at about 9:15.
Well, that must have been the one to Osborne.
Yes.
Well, I hope you both have a pleasant weekend.
Oh, thank you.
So do I.
It's a delightful spot.
Yes.
Well, I like it. I've always liked it. I like that stretch of the river. Yes, it's so peaceful down there.
Let's hope it stays that way, Sir Graham.
Come in.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Temple.
Yes?
My name's Digby, sir. I had a message through from the yard that you were Mrs. Temple.
Ah, yes, of course. Come in, Sergeant.
Oh, thank you.
May I introduce my wife, Sergeant Digby, dear?
How do you do, Mrs.
Good morning,
Temple?
Sergeant.
I thought I'd just let you know that I'm staying here under the name of Baker, sir.
Baker?
Yes, in room 26.
Room 26.
If there's anything I can do for you, just let me know.
Oh, well, thank you, Sergeant. Tell me, how long are you staying down here?
Well, I did intend going back to town this afternoon, sir, but, well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Temple, I think I'm on to something.
Really?
Yes. You see, when Queenie Edwards came down here, to Marlow, I mean, she made a beeline for this hotel. That was about 4:15. She ordered tea and she sat in the lounge until about 6:30. Now, I've had a talk to one of the waiters, a reliable old chap, and he said it was obvious that Queenie Edwards was waiting for someone who never turned up.
Go on.
Well, she hung about the hotel until about 9:15. Then she made a telephone call and caught the 9:28 back to town.
I see.
And you don't happen to know who she was expecting, Sergeant?
No, but I've got a pretty good hunch, Mrs. Temple.
Oh, really?
Do you, by any chance, know a rather flamboyant individual called Shelley, sir?
Shelley? Yes, he runs a mother's help bureau at Hampstead. Miss Millicent was on his books.
Yeah, that's the man.
Oh, we've never met, but I know who you mean. Go on, Digby.
Well, Roger Shelley has a bungalow near here.
Has he, indeed?
Yes, it's over on the far side of the river between Marlow and Maidenhead.
Ah, very interesting.
He's supposed to use the place for weekends. But so far as I can gather, he spends a great deal more time down here than he does in town. Anyway, to cut a long story short,
you think that Queenie Edwards came down here to see Shelley?
Yes, sir, I do.
Well, that bungalow is certainly a strange coincidence, isn't it?
Is Shelley down here at the moment?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that's why I'm staying on.
What do you mean?
Well, I bumped into him last night, here in the hotel bar. We started talking about the weather and cars, you know how it is. Suddenly, I forget how the conversation started. He He mentioned this card game, Canasta. He said he was anxious to learn it.
Well,
I'm going to teach him. He's invited me out to his bungalow. I'm expected for dinner at 8 o'clock.
Ah, smart work, Digby.
It's a small point, Sergeant, but can you play Canasta?
I can't even play gin rummy, Mrs. Denford.
So what are you going to do?
Oh, I'll get by all right. I certainly ought to. I've been reading about the confounded game since 6 o'clock this morning.
Good for you.
Anyway, I don't intend to spend the entire evening playing cards with Mr. Shelley. I'm rather interested to get Mr. Shelley's views on the Desmond case.
Provided he'll talk about it.
Oh, he'll talk all right. He's not the reticent type.
Oh. What time do you expect to be back?
Hmm? Oh, about 11. Certainly no later. I'll drop in on you if you like, tell you how I've got on.
Yes, I wish you would.
Very good, sir.
Sergeant, tell me, what exactly do you hope to get out of Mr. Shelley?
Well, just between ourselves, Mrs. Temple. Promotion.
Paul?
Mm?
You're awake?
Yes, of course I'm awake.
What time is it?
It's just gone 1:30.
Mm. It's very odd about Digby, isn't it? I wonder why he didn't call.
I don't know. Look, I'm going round to his room. What number did he say it was? 26?
Yes, number 26.
Now, what are you doing?
Well, what do you think I'm doing? I'm coming with you, of course. He's not back yet.
No. Well, let's go in.
But he can't have come back yet. Bed hasn't been slept in.
Well, he ought to be back by now, surely. It's 1:30.
How long would it take him to get to the bungalow?
Well, I'm not quite sure where it is.
Of course, it's possible, I suppose, that he was...
What is it, Steve?
Is that the bathroom over there?
Well, I should imagine so. Why? What is it?
Oh, nothing. I'm just imagining things.
Imagining what?
Well, I thought I heard someone in the bathroom.
Well, we'll soon find out.
Oh, Paul!
Digby!
His face! Oh, what's happened to him?
Digby. Digby, what happened?
Temple. Listen.
Now, take it easy. Take it easy. What is it, Digby?
A Mr. Van Dyke.
Yes.
Tried to get...
I'm afraid he's dead, Steve.
Oh, no.
Come on, dear. Let's go back to our room.
Paul, what are you going to do?
I only hope there's somebody on at this time of night. Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Who is that?
This is the manager, McCall. The night porter's off duty. Can I do anything for you?
Yes, I want a call to London, please. It's very urgent.
Okay, I'll put you through to the exchange.
Just a minute. Did you say it was the manager speaking?
Yeah, that's right, Bill McCall.
Well, Mr. McCall, when I finish this conversation, would you come up to room 26, please?
Yeah, surely. I'm putting you through now.
Thank you.
Number, please.
I want London, Langham 5401. It's very urgent.
Langham 5401?
Please.
Hold the line, please.
All right.
Who are you phoning, Paul?
Inspector Eden. I want him to know about Digby before I tell the local people. Yes. There's just a chance that Eden might not want me to get in touch with the local police. It's ringing now.
Hello?
Is that you, Inspector?
Yes, who is it?
This is Temple.
Who?
Paul Temple.
This is a fine time to ring up.
Eden, listen. I'm at Marlowe at the Wordsworth Hotel. Digby's been murdered.
What?
Digby's been murdered. And I want to know if you'd like me to tell the local people...
But how can Digby have been murdered?
We found him in his room only 5 minutes ago.
Temple, listen. Digby left Marlowe this morning. He caught the 8:32. I saw him at the yard at 11 o'clock and I was with him until 7:15 this evening.
You were with Digby until...
until a quarter past seven this evening.
But that's impossible.
Paul, what's happened? What is it?
Inspector, what does Digby look like?
Oh, he's about 6 foot. Rather on the thin side, small moustache.
Good heavens. You're right, Inspector. We've been taken in. Who the devil is this man?
I don't know. But he certainly isn't Sergeant Digby.
Would you like a cereal, madam, or grapefruit?
No, nothing, thank you.
Oh, Steve, you've got to eat something.
I don't feel like eating.
Oh, all right, waiter.
Thank you, sir.
You'll feel awfully weak if you don't have any breakfast.
Oh, darling, please. Paul, I just can't make head or tail of it. If that man wasn't Sergeant Digby...
There are no ifs about it, Steve. The inspector seen him. It wasn't Digby.
Why in heaven's name did he pretend that he was?
I don't know. All I know is he certainly got away with it. I never suspected him.
Well, who would? All that stuff about Queenie Edwards and Roger Shelley...
Yes, but you know, Steve, that's the extraordinary part about it. I think that was true. I think he really did have a date with Shelley.
Well, if he had a date with him, why...
Come in.
Excuse me, Inspector Eden would like to see you, Mr. Temple. He's downstairs in the hall.
Oh, thank you.
May I have a word with you, please?
Oh, yes, of course.
The inspector's been asking me a lot of questions.
Well, it's his job to ask questions, Mr. McCall. I shouldn't get worried about that.
Yes, I know, but he seems kind of suspicious. For one thing, I don't think he believes my story.
What story?
Well, I mean about what happened last night.
What did happen last night, so far as you're concerned?
Well, you're not suspicious, too.
No. I just wanted to get things straightened out.
Well, the night porter had got a pretty rotten cold, and I told him to pack it in. I stayed on duty myself until about 1:30. I was just about to hit the hay when you telephoned down and put the call through to town. You know what happened after that.
Did you see Sergeant Digby, or rather Mr. Baker, at all?
No. Well, I did see him about 7:30, just before he went out. I didn't see him after that.
In other words, you didn't see him come back from Mr. Shelley's?
No.
You knew he had an appointment with Shelley?
Well, sure. I was in the bar on Friday night when Baker introduced himself.
Mm. Is Shelley one of your regulars?
He's in and out pretty regular, I guess.
What about Baker?
He's a stranger. I've never seen him before.
Oh. Well, I shouldn't let the inspector rattle you, Mr. McCall. His bark's worse than his bite.
He doesn't rattle me. I just wondered what was at the back of his mind, that's all.
Temple. I've got Shelley here. Sergeant Bell picked him up at the bungalow about a quarter of an hour ago.
Oh, good. Where is he? In the manager's office?
Yes. Oh, by the way, I've just had a call through from the yard. They've checked the address that our friend Baker put in the register.
Well?
It's as phony as his name. It doesn't exist.
Oh, and I wonder who the devil he was, Inspector.
I wish I knew. We've been through his things with a fine tooth comb.
Didn't you find anything?
Nothing of importance, I'm afraid. Oh, there was this.
Well, what is it?
It was a receipt for a pair of gloves.
Hmm. They were bought in Paris, I see.
Yes. You see the date? The 26th. It was 4 days ago.
Yes. Charles Murray, 173, Rue Saint-Lazare, Paris. 2,750 francs. That's about 2 guineas.
Yes.
Wasn't there anything else on him? And your wallet?
Yes, with £22 in it. In £1 notes.
No papers?
No, nothing.
Hmm. Well, let's see what Mr. Shelley's got to say for himself. Oh, by the way, does he know about the murder?
No, not yet.
Good.
My dear Sergeant, it's not a bit of use telling me that this is simply a routine measure because, quite frankly, I don't believe a word you say.
No, here's the inspector, sir. He'll answer your questions.
All right, Sergeant, you can go.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Shelley?
Are you Inspector Eden?
I am, sir. And this is Mr. Temple.
Paul Temple?
Yes.
Well, what is it you want?
I have reason to believe that you entertained a friend to dinner last night.
I did. Is that a crime?
What time did your guest arrive?
Oh, about 7:30.
And leave?
She left about 9:45.
She?
Yes.
Hmm. We were under the impression that you entertained a Mr. Baker.
Well, for some obscure reason, Baker couldn't make it. It was infuriating.
Who did you entertain last night, if you didn't entertain Mr. Baker?
Entertain's hardly the word. I never spent such a dreary evening. Oh, it was dire. Well, I'll tell you exactly what happened. On Friday night, I dropped in here for a drink, and I bumped into a fellow called Baker. He was a terrific line shooter. Anyway, to cut a long story short, he said he was an absolute wizard at canasta, and he promised to teach me the beastly game.
Go on.
Well, I invited him to dinner. I also invited a friend of mine, an artist called Marion Faber. She has a cottage near Bourne End.
Go on.
Well, Marion turned up, and I might add, in the most frightful mood. And then at about 1:45, this wretched fellow Baker telephoned and said that he couldn't make it.
Did he say why he couldn't make it?
No, he didn't.
Go on.
What do you mean, go on? There's nothing else to go on about.
Mr. Shelley, I understand that you run a sort of registry office.
I run a mother's help bureau. We provide sitters in, nursemaids, ladies, companions. It's quite different from a registry office.
Oh, see, I'm sorry. Had you a Miss Millicent on your books?
Yes, Miss Millicent was on my books, but for your information, I didn't send her to Mrs. Desmond. I'd never heard of Mrs. Desmond until I read about her in the newspapers.
Did you like Miss Millicent?
What do you mean, like? She was a very nice person, if that's what you mean.
Mr. Shelley, tell me, did anyone else telephone you last night, besides Mr. Baker?
No. No, not that I know of. Oh, by the way, is Baker still staying here? Because if he is...
Baker's dead. He's been murdered.
What do you mean? Murdered?
Mr. Temple means that he was murdered.
When?
Last night. His face was slashed with a razor.
Oh! How ghastly.
Tell me, was that the first time you'd seen Baker on Friday night?
What? Yes, yes.
You've never seen him before?
No, never.
He was a complete stranger to
Absolutely.
You.
I say, look here, Temple, I don't want to be tiresome, but do you think I could have a little drink?
Yes, I'll ring for the waiter.
I'd like a brandy. A double brandy.
Paul, do you think Shelley was telling the truth?
About Baker?
Yes.
Well, if you don't believe Shelley's story, Baker was lying and so was McCall.
How do you mean?
Well, McCall said he was in the bar on Friday night when Baker introduced himself to Shelley.
Yes, but for all we know, that may have been a put-up job.
Put-up job?
Yes. Suppose Baker, or whatever his name is, was told to contact Shelley. He came down to Marlowe and arranged accidentally to bump into Shelley in the cocktail bar. Well, naturally, if McCall was there, he'd be convinced that Baker and Shelley were meeting for the first time.
Yes.
Now, if Baker did go out to Shelley, if Shelley was lying when he said that...
But Shelley wasn't lying, darling. Eden checked up with that girlfriend of his, Marion Faber. She said that she was there when Baker telephoned.
Oh, but darling, she may be lying.
Oh, darling, they can't all be lying. Look at the windscreen. By Timothy.
What happened? What was it?
I'll give you three guesses.
What do you mean?
It was a bullet.
Shall I send Charlie down for the case?
No, I'll carry it up, darling. You take the hatbox.
Oh, Paul.
Hmm?
There's Terry Parr and Mrs. Desmond.
Where?
Getting out of that car.
Oh, yes. She looks excited.
Paul, there's a baby in the car.
Mr. Temple, We were just coming to see you.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Desmond.
I've got some wonderful news. Susan's back.
Oh, splendid.
She's all right, perfectly all right.
That is good news. What happened?
Terry and I went for a drive this morning. It was just after breakfast. We drove as far as Richmond and then... Oh, I can't believe it.
Mrs. Desmond, please, what happened?
When we got back to the flat, Susan was there. She was on the rug in front of the fire, fast asleep. Oh, I just couldn't believe
it. Oh, I'm so glad, Mrs. Desmond.
Go back to the car, Mary. I'll talk to Mr. Temple.
Yes, all right, Terry.
Hello, what's happened to your windscreen?
Oh, we've had an accident. Is this true, Palmer, about the baby?
Yes. It's extraordinary, Temple. I just don't understand it. We went out for a drive. When we got back to the flat, well, there she was.
Is the child all right?
Perfectly all right.
There was no sign of Miss Millicent, I take it?
No, but I'm sure she must be mixed up in this, Temple.
Why?
Well, in view of what's happened, I think she must have taken the child away and then, well,
Changed her mind?
Exactly. Look, Temple, I'm taking Mary and the baby down to Eastbourne for a few days. If she stays in town, the reporters will be on her doorstep night and day, and frankly, she isn't up to it.
Have you told the police?
Well, I phoned the yard, but unfortunately, both Sir Graham and the inspector were out. I left a message. Oh, here's our address at Eastbourne in case they want to get in touch.
All right, Palmer, I'll see to it.
Oh, thanks. It's awfully kind of
you. No, it's all right.
Goodbye, Mr. Palmer.
Oh, goodbye, Mrs. Temple.
Here's the case, Charlie.
Okay, I'll take it.
Put it in the bedroom, will you?
Yes, sir. What about the car?
Oh, leave the car for the moment, Charlie.
Okay, sir.
Steve!
Esther?
You dropped your glove. It was on the pavement.
Oh, is that... This isn't my glove, Paul.
Well, it was on the curb near the car. Oh, Mrs. Desmond must have dropped it.
Do you know where she's staying?
Yes. Give it to me. I'll post it on to her.
Yeah.
I thought Mrs. Desmond looked as if she was heading for a nervous breakdown.
What are you looking at?
This glove. There's a tab inside. Do you see where it was bought?
Huh.
Look.
Charles Mary, 173 Rue Saint-Lazare, Paris.
In the second episode of the Francis Durbridge serial Paul Temple and the Van Dyke Affair, you heard Peter Cook as Paul Temple and Marjorie Westbury as Steve, with Richard Williams as Sir Graham Forbes, Peter Wilde as Terry Palmer, and David Spencer as Sergeant Digby, or Baker, or... Other parts were played by members of the BBC Drama Repertory Company, with production by Martin C. Webster.